Cape Talk. Cape Talk. The US Report with Adrian Brune.
The US Report with Adrian Bruni, all the way from Manhattan, New York City. Adrian, good morning. I've been itching. Okay, let me give you a chance to greet back first. How are you, Adrian?
I'm doing well, Abs. How are you doing?
Absolutely fantastic. Very excited. Thank you so much, Adrian, for joining us on the show. U.S. Space Forces. It's happening.
Yes. So Vice President Mike Pence promoted a proposed base command on Thursday in comments at the Pentagon to unveil a few more details about President Trump's plan to create another military force, this one for outer space, and for it to be in operation by 2020. Now, Trump's space dreams still have to go through a divided Congress to come true, but initially reluctant Pentagon officials have lined up behind the proposal and now say that they will do what they can to bring it to fruition. The time has come to write the next great chapter in history of our armed forces, to prepare for the next battlefield where America's best and bravest will be called to deter and defeat a new generation of threats to our people, to our nation. That is what Pence said. He called for Congress to allocate an additional $8 billion for space security systems over the next 5 years. Trump, for his part, posted on Twitter on Thursday, quote, "Space Force all the way," exclamation point, unquote. So here's a clip, Abs, of Pence's speech announcing the funding.
What was once peaceful and uncontested is now crowded and adversarial. Today, other nations are seeking to disrupt our space-based systems and challenge American supremacy in space as never before. For many years, nations from Russia and China to North Korea and Iran have pursued weapons to jam, blind, and disable our navigation and communication satellites via electronic attacks from the ground. But recently, our adversaries have been working to bring new weapons of war into space itself. Our adversaries have transformed space into a warfighting domain already, and the United States will not shrink from this challenge.
Okay, Adrian, I got a couple of questions here. As you can hear, I'm very excited. I just want to find out, first of all, is it only open to Americans, or can South Africans apply? More specifically, can a South African who's a radio talk show host in Cape Town apply? That's one. Two, what is the age limit? Also, do you have rockets yet? I want to know. And also, if you join, when you launch, can you shout to infinity and beyond? What?
These are all excellent questions, Abs. I cannot answer them at the moment, but I promise to do research for you over the weekend. I think this is still, you know, information, but you probably would have to get a work visa to join the space force. The affinity to infinity and beyond, that's up. I'm sure that would be passable once you get the visa, but then you probably need to get you need to get in really good shape, Abs, and have, you know, perfect vision and all that stuff. So you have to be in the U.S. Technically, you have to be in the Air Force to be in,
I suppose that makes sense.
Space Force. So they only take the best of the best Air Force pilots. So work on these things.
No, I'll work on it. On the visa side, I know someone who knows someone that knows a cousin that knows someone else, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Adrian, let's talk about Hollywood. Apparently, they're saying they're going to remove Donald Trump's star.
Right. So, citing values that conflict with their communities, West Hollywood City Council members unanimously passed a resolution requesting that President Trump's star be removed from the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, the star, which was installed in 2007, has already been destroyed by pickaxe, both in 2016 and just last month, was the first alleged perpetrator bailing out the last suspected vandal from jail. So the first one who did it bailed out the last one who did it. Now it'll be up to the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce, which opted to keep Bill Cosby's star in 2015 after a similar resolution, to ultimately decide the marker's fate. So,
very interesting times. Nonetheless, you can see where they're coming from with this. Now, let's talk about the biking couple that was killed by ISIS. What's this about?
Yeah, this was kind of one of those stories that the New York Times did that kind of caught me by surprise. Of course, I was away. Asked why they had quit their office jobs and set off on a biking journey around the world, a young American couple offered a simple explanation. There's magic out there, or I'm sorry, quote, there's magic out there in this great, big, beautiful world. Unquote. That's what Jay Austin wrote, who, along with his partner, Lauren Gagan, that's what he wrote when he gave his 2 weeks notice last year before shipping his bicycle to Africa. Now, the beauty they talked about was such thing as they mentioned they kept a running blog. On day 342, when the family showed up with stringed instruments and treated them to an open-air concert, and on day 359, when two pigtailed girls met them at the top of a path in Kyrgyzstan with a bouquet of flowers. But over a week ago, on day 369, the couple was biking with a group of other tourists in Tajikistan when a carload of men who are believed to have pledged allegiance to IS spotted them, made a sharp U-turn, doubled back, and ran them over. In all, four people were killed, including a cyclist from Switzerland and one from the Netherlands. Now, the couple had begun their voyage at the southernmost tip of Africa and continued north. They began in Cape Town, actually, continued north, crossing deserts where the sand was so deep that they had to dismount and push their bikes. They cycled on dirt paths through dry riverbeds, basically, and went days without showers. But despite several near runovers, by the time the couple reached Tajikistan, they had embraced the notion that the world was overwhelmingly good. According to the New York Times article, Tajik authorities said that the IS drivers got out and stabbed and shot some of the survivors, leaving little doubt that the assault was indeed intentional. And also in a bulletin issued by the internal news agency of the Islamic State, the group described the assailants as, quote, soldiers of the Islamic State, and said that the attack was in response to calls to target citizens of coalition countries, unquote. So it's was kind of one of those stories that very much slipped under the radar. I mean, when I was in Morocco, I heard nothing about it until this story came out. I believe it was on Wednesday. So it's a sad, terrible story.
Sad, terrible story, Adrian. Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much, Adrian Bruni, for joining us this morning on the Ellie Breakfast Show. Let's do this again next week, Monday.
Sure. Well, I know, Ams, that you like to leave on a bit of a good note.
Yes.
So that was a bit of a downer. But in good news, I adopted a kitten for my cat, to be friends with my cat this week. So you can be happy about that.
Ooh.
Check it out on my Instagram.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go check it out. Let's see what Noah's been up to. Anyways, Adrian.
She's a very good rugby player. She has a little rugby ball, the new cat.
Ah.
Yeah, She has a mini rugby ball from South Africa.
Nice. All right. I'll check it out on Instagram. Yeah. Adrian, thank you so much. A very good morning to you.
Good.
Cheers. And to